Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey folks, welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast. This is episode number 237, and this week we have Donnie V on. How are you doing, Donnie?
Pretty good for my age. How about yourselves?
Pretty good for your age. You don't look that old.
I'm doing pretty good for my age.
I'm aging by the minute.
That's you guys, a fact.
You guys collectively, and nobody's as old as me. You guys just look old, but you're not as old as me.
That was fair.
Well, you must have at least seen one episode here before.
I'm kippered and pickled, you know what I mean? So in like jerky. Jerky can't, you know, age. Yeah. It's hard.
Goes forever, man.
Right.
I think it's an MREs. But it just lasts forever.
Let me tell you, sure. Back in my days in the military, we saw somebody get some bad MREs. And
It ain't good, man.
It was not good at all. I felt so bad for that girl. I thought she was going to die.
Wow.
I've never caught any sexually transmitted diseases ever in my whole life, believe it or not. So. MREs, I don't know what those are, but.
Well, they're not STDs.
I'm just trying to chime in like I know what I'm talking about. But like I said, I've been working all night on a new song, and so I'm loopy.
Well, tell us about what you're working on there.
Well, it's a new song. No, it's just I write a lot of songs. I've recorded a lot of songs, and I write a lot of songs, but every once in a while comes one that where, you know, you got that cat ate the canary grin on, you know what I mean, where it's like, this is a really good one. And that's why usually at this point in my life and stuff, I won't marathon it, you know, as tomorrow's another day and stuff like that. But occasionally one will come along like this one that where I'm excited, I just want to hear it, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to fumble and think of words and all the different parts and everything together, and so busy getting everything done that I can't get shit done.
Do you write with somebody else, or are you just writing all your stuff yourself?
I've basically wrote everything myself of my whole life. You know, there was a little bit of collaboration here and there. Like with Chip, there was some collaborating and a couple experiences with some other people. But I usually end up doing a bulk of it anyway, because luckily a lot of times I have the best ideas. You know, I just got really lucky with this. So whatever's channeling through me has a plan and very seldom lets me down, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, I do everything myself now. From the drums all the way to everything you'll hear on the demos, and then we'll retrack them, you know, record, you know, if we can release them, they got to be retracked, obviously. And now I'm trying to make a point of making sure all my, even my demo tracks and stuff are clean and usable for the future, because a lot of times you end up, the magic might happen on that very first time that you approach the song, you know? And so, and I have some pretty unconventional ways of doing this shit. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I get it on tracks. You know what I mean? And
so, do you play everything then on the tracks then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean, just everything that's going to be on the song until like I said, if we're going to cut it for a record or something, sometimes we'll redo the whole thing but always we'll get real drums. You know, I mean, I do a pretty good job of drums with, you know, as the samples and keyboards and stuff, I play them live through the song, you know, on different tracks and stuff. So I'm not using drum machines or program beats or anything. I'm actually playing the drum tracks live. And then, so those will need to be replaced with actual real drums that can be mixed. Right. And, as far as all the instruments go, which whatever ones I get lucky enough, because I'm a hack on every instrument. You know, I can play everything, but out of necessity, you know, singing is my main thing. And I'm not like the kind of guy that will ever sit around and practice anything. You know what I mean? So I'm a hack. And so a lot of times if we can get somebody else to do something better, like maybe some of the keyboards or the horns and shit like that, you know, is I just put a clusterfuck of shit in there, and, you know, and it's so many ideas, you know, so somebody else knows that instrument or knows that particular thing that you're doing better, that would be the more suited person. Just listen to my ideas on my demo and then do your thing, do it for real, you know. It costs a little bit of money, but it usually sounds better.
So we heard the single Lucille. That was pretty cool. Was that off of a new record that you were doing, or is that a single that, or?
No, that wasn't even a single. That was just, I got this other little thing I do with my buddy Rob, where it started out teaching him, stuff like that. And he's always been a huge fan, and he had to give up his whole dream and everything of like 20 something years ago to do the right thing. I mean, so, it's like he gets off on that, you know, me showing him how to do stuff. And so what ended up happening is we tracked a couple of songs and I started having fun doing it. So we made like it's got a little name of the project called the St. Joe County Dopers. And all of the songs are just like old cool cover tunes, but, you know, souped up and boost the voltage on them and, you know, make them my own. But then just release them like on Facebook or on social media and stuff, and I'll put them on records. And that one there was a rush job because they started it right when I just heard he had died and wanted to get it out by the next day. And so it was a rush job, and it doesn't sound very great, but it's nothing really important about those tracks. You know, it's St. Joe County Dopeports.
I had saw that on Spotify is where I was looking at. I was seeing what your latest releases were and stuff. Cause we're trying to figure out what it was that you, you know. So have you released anything on what you're working on now? Have you been releasing anything?
Well, after my last record, Beautiful Things, it's like my best record I've ever made. And with all of the shit that went down from the start of that record all the way till currently, it's just never gotten a break. There's always been some reason why it never got a fair shake. It didn't get to be supported live. It went through a couple of different shady fucking things with a label and then the Pledge Music fucked up thing and stuff like that. And then I got sick and I was in the hospital for a couple of months and almost died. And so it's just never, so I don't want to give up on that one yet. It's cause I think it's so good. And I bought all my records back from these shitty labels and stuff with the money I got from this, Nuff's Enough licensing deal. I used it for to buy back all my records, including this one. Yeah. And, I still got to pay them, but, you know, but instead of giving up on it, it's not like I don't have the material. I have the material, but to actually make a record and do it right and follow up something really great, it's got to be as good. And so it costs money. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. you know, like 15, 20 grand is nothing in comparison to what it used to cost to make a record, you know, with fucking over 100 grand and stuff, you know, the food bill would be alone with what it would cost now, but that's still got to be paid, you know, and people got to get paid. And if you want to get, you know, good cats and, I decided to, just start going with singles for a little while until, so I'm looking at a couple other options for new deals at a new labels, to actually do a record. But until that happens, now I'm just going to go working on the cuff. I don't want to have any contracts with anybody or do a whole records or lose any more great songs and just, you know, go single at a time. And it's easier to do and it's practical and I can basically do that here, you know.
There was a lot of people that got caught up in that Pledge Music thing. I know there was, it was not a good situation for a lot of people.
They fucked everybody, man. Now that was a great concept, and it was very successful for 20 years. Guys have been using that and doing really good at it, especially after the major labels and shit were, you know, you can't, you know, once you're working in the indies and stuff, you're better off with, because this is if you got a good fan base, they're buying your record up front is what they're doing. And and so when I went to do that, I doubled the goal. Well, you know, you have a projected goal that you need to make the record. Well, I doubled that. And, but they release it to you little bits at a time, and they gave us just enough to get rolling and for everybody to expect to be getting paid. And then, by the next time it was time to dole out more of the money, we were just getting emails and I'm sorry emails, and we're waiting on finding something out or this and that. And then the end result was that they just split and nobody knows what fucking happened to them. And all my artist friends, they're using it. They all got fucked. All the fans who pledged all got fucked. And wow. And that's, and you know, I mean, my record I consider would be a cheap expense, you know, like I think I was like 20 something grand into it. And that's getting off easy compared to some people, like some of my buddies, like Paul Gilbert is somebody that's got, you know, a lot of, you know, half a million fucking pledgers and stuff like that, you know, and they all just get fucked. So, but what I did is I figured I was in that deep already that, so I took a shitty deal to be able to get the actual CDs printed up, at least for all the pledgers, you know, so they could all get their CDs so I can honor the pledges. And that's why I took the deal, is to cover just the cost of those records, you know, and then everything else would have been bonus. But because I didn't want to fuck them, you know what I mean? I love my fans too much and they're too good to me. And it's, and I just couldn't live with that. So I actually went more in the hole and bought the CDs. And we, my family and everybody, we physically got a hold of the mailing list of the pledge list and fucking packaged them all, postage, wow. Sent them, physically sent them, like talking thousands of CDs. You know what I mean? That's a lot of work. So that's how, don't ever say I'm not dedicated to my fans, you know? Took a beating.
You know, there's some more, you know, really, more people that should take
I don't
a beating.
Even,
sorry.
You did that. I don't even have a copy yet.
No, more people should take note of that, because, I mean, a lot of people were crying in their milk over that situation, you know, and they should. I mean, people got, you know, I know, like, Big John Hart, you know, was doing his book through that, and yeah. The book he was writing about Kiss, and, you know, he was, we saw him at a couple of Kiss conventions where we were up there promoting our podcast, and, you know, he was all in on that thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, they took everything he had, you know, right. Just, and then what do you do at that point? You know, well, it's hard.
It was common knowledge, and you read everywhere that what had happened with the pledge thing. So it was easy to have that information and know what's going on. And also I don't know how many posts that I made about it, you know, with people, listen, I'm going to get you your stuff. You know, I don't have to get you your stuff. You got fucked. We all got fucked. And, do you hear me?
Yeah.
So I've made a million posts and stuff, but you still got like some jagoff who the thing didn't find his cornfield yet, and he hadn't gotten his CD yet, and he has busting my fucking balls and shit. You know, it's like, man, it's just hang tight, and it's coming. And yeah, I think there's still one guy that's for some reason can't get his CD.
But. He's probably one of them metal sludge jerks.
Guess it wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, I mean, but that's a lot of effort. I mean, especially when you got hosed on the whole deal to start with to put that out. I mean, I think that you should be commended for that. I mean, there's a lot of guys that would just rolled over and went, look, I got nothing, and sorry about your damn luck, and walk away. But, you know, it's nice that you didn't do that, especially for those folks that put out their hard-earned money. You know,
it's coming out of my career as well, too, because it's been a history of getting fucked after getting fucked after getting fucked by it's just
a theme, huh?
What changes is whose dick is in your ass is what it is, you know. But and then I come off the couch for I hadn't but released a record in like 3-4 years and you know, going this route, and you know, money isn't growing trees, and for that to happen, you know, I was like, of course this happened, you know. That's why did this happen? Because I'm on it now, you know what I mean? Because that's just what happens. It's attached to me. So, but yeah, we just, you know, my sister and we just took some loans and stuff, and we said, fuck it. You know what I mean? I'm not in this for the money. I mean, I'm in this because I feel like I have a purpose, and so many people let me know how important, you know, my fan base might be small, but it's mighty, you know what I mean? And they let me know how important it was to their lives, or this got them through that, or this got through that. And there's, you can't put a price tag on that. And so anything I can do in that department, you know, out in my power, I will.
Yeah. I was amazed. I mean, I really had not had kind of lost a little bit, contact after, for a while, but I was looking back through and man, you've got a record out damn near every about a year and a half for a long time.
I mean, of
some type in some band formation or whatever. That's a lot of music, man. It's a lot.
I think there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 records, and then a bunch of other additional things from demos or this and that, and all kinds of different things. But somebody sent me a list a couple of weeks ago because I don't know or remember everything that I have out. I have so much shit out that I literally do not know what I have out there. So I ask fans every now and then, hey, can somebody send me a list of what I've released, of everything you can think of that I've to approach, to go into these record deal negotiations. It's like, here's, catalog deals and licensing and shit like that. And so the list that I got, I was like, what the fuck, man? I said, I've never even, it's like the Guinness Book of World Records. I haven't seen anybody had that much shit, but I said something like over 30 records in just as records alone, and then there's crazy shit like Grady's Hits and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
So pre-COVID, were you out actually playing, doing live shows quite a bit, or was you recording at that time beforehand?
Was just getting the band. We were just rehearsing and just getting the show worked out to go out and support it live. We're just booking the shows and starting to get. I did one show in the last. One full rock show in the last 6 years, and people couldn't even get in, and so we started booking other ones, and there are pre-sales. Some of them were already sold out like right away and stuff. So I figured there might be something in this. We could maybe do some business here, but then. Because that's the hardest part is doing it live, the live performing, that's the physical, the calisthenics of it all, and being able to sing all night long and do a great show and this and that and who you're going to have playing your band and stuff. And so that's a lot of anxiety, and I have bad anxiety, but that was, just kind of got let off the hook at that, right when we were about to, I think we had a show was coming up in a couple of weeks, would have been the first one, and then this happened, and since then the whole COVID thing and this whole year I've been doing fine. Didn't really kill me, kill like some of these guys they're just buried and losing, but it's like I didn't do anything anyway.
so you're more comfortable in the studio and recording stuff than you are out actually playing it then.
Absolutely. I have,
that's cool.
I've always had really, really bad anxiety and I have bad bipolar shit. So I'm up and then I'm down. And I was scared to even leave my house for a few years and stuff like that. So that's, it doesn't work for me. Like some people really enjoy getting all that accolades and have a million people in your fucking face at one time and stuff. And plus nowadays, it's not like in the old days when we were kids going to concerts, somebody's there shooting at Facebook Live at the show, and you're bad angles and bad sound and this and that. And shows aren't meant to be shown online or shown and recorded and shown to other people where they can, freeze frame thing, look at things and put it under the microscope and stuff. That's a live show. You're there. You're missing the vibe. You're not getting the vibe out of that because that's half of it. Just the fact that I'm still alive and walked in the club, I win. So that's that whole aspect. And, so that whole thing is just, I'm not really tickled pink about doing the performing live. And I never have been, but I had no choice. And that's what led to a lot of my medicating. Mm. People kind of got that reverse. They think everything was fucked up because I was medicating. Well, I was medicating because everything was fucked up,
Yeah, but interesting. That makes sense.
I stay in my little cave here. I got an awesome little cave, fucking studio is the most comfortable place I've had out of all the places I've had in my life. And I don't even like to come out of here. And most of the time I spend actually doing other shit besides music, enjoying just doing normal things for once in my life. It's finally got some kind of normal, happy life that I never had. And so painting the garage or building a shed or this and that, those are exciting things for me now. And making another great record, it's like, oh, another great record.
That's cool, though. Good for you.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. We've talked about this on the show before. You know, as we've met more and more, you know, people that have been in the business and been on tours and that kind of stuff, it's just guys that, you know, like to make music and hang out and have a family and chill and build barns and, you know, it's just, you know, they're
more normal than we thought they were.
Got to do any of that shit though. See, so I was the one guy, I was absolutely abnormal. You know, my lifestyle, my whole life it's just a really, dark, grim kind of fucking behind the scenes type thing from my perspective. And I never had was in situations, never, lent themselves to me having any kind of normal life or anything like that, you know, or happiness. I thought happiness, that's a myth, you know, just made that up just to piss me off and shit. But that's for the first time, you know, happy and liking doing, you know, normal fucking things, you know? And yeah, but I never wanted to be a rich and famous rock star. That was never my goal. I was an artist. Right. I mean, that's what I'm in, but that's what I get off on. And all the other aspects of being a rock star freaked me the fuck out.
It's just funny though, because you know, Alan and I both played in bands, but you know, nothing spectacular. But you know, that's been our thing. You know, we always wanted to be that person or be like you guys on, you know, when you see your videos on MTV and stuff. And then you're sitting around going, man, I just like to paint my shed or paint my thing. I'm like going, I do that shit every day. I like to do the other thing, you know. It's funny how it is, you know, when you don't have that, you're always wanting it. And you think that's, you know, the grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. You know, that's a perfect example.
That lifestyle that you're talking about, that you see and you're curious about and you think that looks great, that looks like a lot of fun, I'd like to do that. It's not exactly what you picture in your mind. It's, you know, that's might be how you perceive it, but what's actually going on is a pretty dark and fucking troubled life, you know, most of them.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, you can't have like good relationships. You can't, you know, you can't have a like quality, solid family or any kind of, property or any kind of, you know, I mean, when you're in that situation, because right off the bat, if you have a chick, she's got to be number one. If you want to have a successful relationship with a chick, and how can she be number one when this thing that you do comes far and above anything close to, you know, she's way down there after, after painting the other guitar, you know, you know, but yeah, it's not an easy situation, you know, and when guys finally make money and they get their lives together and they get off the drugs and they're finally making money and stuff, you know, and the cleaned up new version of them, usually they're able to do that then, but then the music is their art is suffering, you know, like most of the greats.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you know, as bad as I hate to say it, a lot of people thought, like, for example, Scott Weiland, when he was on something, the music was great, but when he was clean, Stone Temple Pilots music was much less interesting.
He didn't feel like doing it when he was clean. You don't feel like doing it. It's a lot of that, you know, enhanced and heightened awarenesses and things like that, that you can't find until you get like the third block past Pluto, you know, it's where all the fucking magic is at. You know what I mean? And it's sad enough to say, you know, but it's true. You know, that's where the real fucking magic is. And you know, you look at any great band, any classic rock, amazing fucking band of your heroes and stuff. Look at once they got their lives together and everything. Now, look at Paul McCartney. I mean, kicking his ass is his records now. You know, I mean, not to be egotistical or anything, but, you know, you listen to these, you know, big bands and guys you love, their new records as they're, you know, later on in life. And this is not anything anybody wants to really hear. You go to see them live, you want to hear the stuff that you like and shit. You don't want to hear the new record, you know? No. But I try to make sure that I keep putting out stuff that I like, you know, and I've never got contempt or happy or successful or even comfortable. So I'm still hungry and scratching in the dirt. So it shows in the music. There's still hunger.
Cool. Who are some of your influences? Who did you, when you were younger, you know, that really turned you on to music and got you to start playing and all that stuff?
Well, first and foremost, of course, is the Beatles is where I, that's what tripped my trigger. That's what I just, how I discovered music. And I found a lot of, I lived my life in these headphones, you know, it was not a good childhood. And I lived my life in my headphones and I tunnel visioned and you can get a great education about songwriting and producing and arranging. And even if I didn't know what I was learning yet, by the Beatles, they did, you know, everything that they did it right, you know, with the right shit. And, but then, so I didn't have records, I couldn't afford records. So I didn't have any records, you know, unless I'd steal one from somebody or I would tape record people's records and shit. And so, I'd hear the radio and I liked Motown and shit like that. I liked AM radio. I don't know if I liked it, but that's what I heard and that's what I was familiar with. And so that's why my influences and my styles and stuff all come from basically, you know, hit song, you know, radio and the Beatles, then Led Zeppelin, a few others. You know, I didn't have like a zillion influences or anything. There's a few things, you know, that I like, but I really don't listen to music much anymore. I've never bought a CD in my life.
Never bought any?
Never bought one CD. I don't own one. I don't even have one of my own CDs.
But you had eight. Do you have any? Did you ever buy 8-tracks or cassettes or anything?
No, nothing.
No,
I was even younger when those were around.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Like I said, I'd either snatch one or I didn't really care. You know, if my buddies had some, we'd listen to theirs. Shit, I didn't have anything to play them on anyway. So what am I going to do with them, you know? And cassettes was fun because you can make your own stuff, but like records, right. You know what I mean? I didn't have anything to play those on. And if 8-tracks, you know, those are, that's crazy.
Yeah.
No, I made a million cassettes. I know you, and you're doing it off the radio and you always miss that first part of the song.
DJ, right? Like, shut up.
my batteries would drain and stuff. And there was songs that I learned and actually knew them. How they went was like.
So yeah, Donnie, you said, you know, something of everything and a master of nothing. But as far as your instruments you play, what is your favorite one or you think that you play the best, you know, of every instrumentation?
That I play the best?
That you think that you play the best. I mean, singing. And then you're, there you go.
Singing.
Your voice.
I really don't impress myself much at all with my abilities on any instruments, but in a studio setting, you get away with a lot more than you would like picking it up and performing it live and stuff. You know, you can punch in this and that. And I got good ideas. That's the thing is my ideas are good. My technique is shit. And so when I tell people I'm a hack, they oh yeah, right, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm a fucking hack. I'll pick something up.
No, seriously, listen to this.
I struggle. And you can ask anybody that's had to mix my shit. <You
know>? That's funny.
At least you're honest about it. You know, there's a lot of people that are really like.
All that matters is the end result, right?
Yeah.
What you end up hearing, that's the only thing that matters. Who cares how you got there?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's great. That's awesome. Now, like I said, we're hoping to. So, how are you looking to the songs you're working on now? Are you looking to just keep doing singles or are you wanting to get another album together? Is that what you're working for? Or
I've got the material, which is difficult for me because the thought of not making a record because they come in these waves, like a wave of songs will come in. You know, after a last record, then it'd be the new wave and stuff. And anything that didn't get used on the last records or something, they're basically in the vault, you know what I mean? Because you write new ones for the next time and stuff. And so I struggle with that of not being able to. If I just did singles, the new ones that I've got, I'm itching for people to hear them. You know what I mean? And, right. and mm-hmm. I couldn't outlive as many singles if I just released the things. This is what I have now. I think I have enough to last me the rest of my life if I did singles. And that's, right. that's no fun for me. You know, I like making the new ones. And so, yeah, hopes looking at a couple of labels and
good.
And hopefully one of them will be able to get a prize of a couple of bucks out of the Hebrews and we can make a fucking record. But all I care is just enough to pay the expense to make it. You know, I never counted on making anything. That's what welfare is for, you know.
We hope to hear some good songs here soon because, like I said, we enjoy your music.
I got a new single coming out.
Do you?
That I was getting ready to release right before the COVID happened. That was going to be – we're going to release that and launch the live performances. So we have something to push and something, you know, to pedal and promote. But then the song's called Party Time. And I can't think of a time there was more not party time than when that.
Party of one.
So he pulled back the reins on that. And the flip side, it was just going to release a 45 record, an actual vinyl. That was the only, not make it a CD or anything. It's a 45. And on the flip side was this other tune called All My Favorite Things, which I wrote when I got out of the hospital, which is pretty relatable. And it was very more applicable to those times. It's kind of you know, it fit, but the label just, I mean, I think they had like 7 Twitter followers and stuff. That's like, I think I could do better than this. And so I've held the song back, and it's not that we're going to release it again, then we're going to release it again, and then things came to be. It's the way things have happening and situations have changed to where I've actually now and shot a video, like a big time, it'll look like a fucking $100,000 video. I got really lucky with the people who came on board for this thing. And, you know, like I think all things happen for a reason and a time and a place. And I ended up taking this song that's already, I've already got copies on vinyl over there. Well, it's currently now being remixed. It's currently in playing. I just played new guitars on it the other day. And, you know, and there's a record sitting there that I was going to release. Now I'm just playing new guitars on this one now because after the video, it's got a lot of, I got a little hopefulness for, and it's probably the most commercial song, marketable song I've ever written in my life. You know, I've been trying to think of one of those for, you know, most of my career that I want to rock and roll all night, party every day, that type thing. Ain't nothing but a good time. You know, that anthem, but still not in a cheesy way. And that was why I had difficulties with it, because I still had to have integrity of what I do and everything. And so I finally came across one, and it's just things, the stars are lining up, and I got the guy from Jellyfish playing on it.
Cool.
Playing drums on it. My drummer, Greg Potter, he's playing drums on it. Chip's playing bass. I'm having Chip play the bass on it.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
So we're back on terms of speaking and things.
Yeah, like I was gonna ask.
That was gonna be my next question.
Yeah. How that relationship was going? I know it's been kind of ups and downs over the years. So
a lot of downs. It was mostly down, and wasn't going very well at all until with the COVID thing happened, and that made me reprioritize things. Because like I said, I love loving him, and I hate hating him. And that was really fucking with me because the fucking scandalous, shady-ass shit this guy has fucking done to me is ridiculous. Anybody, some guys would kill the motherfucker for the shit he's done. And so I'm not going to go into all that. But with that Cleopatra Records coming in and buying the licensing for the entire Zenuff catalog, which was scattered out around and all these little piece of shit labels here and there, and you don't know where to get it and this and that, and now it's all under one roof. And that kind of helped bring us together and talk. And,
good.
And I got like a song on his At Last Enough's Enough record. I call it Diet Enough's Enough. it's in the same can, but there's no sugar and it's.
That's cool.
That is good. I mean, I think, you know, too, as I think as people get older, and I think that happens too, you realize that a lot of shit that happened before that just happened before. And sometimes you got to look for what were the things that were awesome, because there were some awesome things too that went on there. I mean, you guys had some hit records and did some great stuff.
When the chips go down in desperate times, call for desperate measures, and desperate measures are make, you know, bad. The choices are going to be bad for one or the other of us. You know what I mean? And, you know what I got what I wanted out of it. And that was, to create it, all that great stuff. And the fans and the ones that heard it and love it, how it affected their lives. So that's what he wants out of it, is he needed to go out and he needed the name to get out and perform and call it Enough's Enough, you know. But I thought that was, I can understand him doing that. I couldn't understand him putting out new records, new Enough's Enough records, without me singing and writing them, you know, after all of this collection, this catalog of all of this thing. And then all of a sudden it's this. And, you know, and cause I would have had no problem like tracking a single with him or maybe making a record with him. And then he can go out and be Enough's Enough and play new thing and Fly Michelle every night, you know, for $750, you know, pay the fucking, you know, yeah. So I'm not into that. You know, that's toxic and hazardous to my health and sobriety and all of that stuff, you know, and that's not where my interest wants to be out there. Just, doesn't matter where he's at, where he's playing, who he's playing with, he's making it. He just wants to be out there doing that. And that's, it's the exact opposite for me. So he had my blessing using the name. I didn't think he was going to go in and actually snake it out and his soul. He fucking trademarked everything completely 100% in his name, where I have no entitlement to anything of Enough's Enough. And I'm like, how the fuck could you do that? You know what I mean? It's like somebody went and trademarked Paul McCartney, you know, and it wasn't Paul McCartney.
It was Gene Simmons.
Ringo goes out and it's just Paul McCartney. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, but I mean, people, the fans, they go out to see that, and it says Enough's Enough, and it shows the same logo and this and that, and the promotions will show, they'll, you know, playing a little bit of new thing or playing this and stuff from the records and stuff, and then you get there, and there's bunch of guys that nobody knows who they are, because none of them are on any records, and then there's him who's now singing lead vocals, and he was smoking thumbtacks his whole life. I was told, I said, lead vocals are supposed to be pleasant. I joke around, but you know, you hear it's, hey, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's a little more gruff than you, when you were doing it. I saw him a couple of years ago, just like, I think it was last year or the year before? I can't remember exactly. They did a show, they did a tour with Bullet Boys and Jack Russell's Great White. And it was a really good show. I mean, the bill was really good, and they did a good show, but it definitely was, not the Enough's Enough that I remember from back in the day. It was
probably not any of them, not any of the bands, you know, and that's like, see, that's a perfect example. If I'm not doing that anymore, I'm playing, I personally, my style and what I do, I got no business playing with bands like that ever. Of, you know, I never actually should have been playing in the band I was in. You know what I mean? It's just the way things happened. Mm-hmm. You know, it all rolled that way. Is because there's nothing similar about any of those 80s bands or anything like that of what I do, than what I do, except that we had hair. You know,
and lots of it,
and lots of it.
And MTV, we were famous and stuff. But right. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't do that, and you know, especially. And he's opening for Bullet Boys and Jack Russell's Great White, which Jack Russell, a great guy, sweet guy and everything, but like the only song I can think of that I know of theirs was somebody else's tune. It was that cover tune. And it's okay. And Try Shy, babe, that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay song, and you know, but that's not even close to the last half of it. Wasn't Great White, didn't they burn a club down or something, like kill a bunch of
there was an issue there,
300 or 400 people. Yeah. Jesus. But I mean, I love Jack and he's a sweet guy and everything. But now the Bullet Boys guys, that's another whole story that, yeah, you caught me in a loopy state of mind. I should just shut the fuck up right now.
You're all right.
Well, we can let you go. That's all right.
I'm all yours for as long as you need me.
No, we're just glad to hear from you and glad you're doing well and recording music. That's the whole thing is we want new music anyway. We're starving for new music, you know, being guys of our generation. We're looking because the new music coming out today is not shit I want to listen to be honest.
You guys personally, I can send you some new stuff that, you know, if you won't share it or anything.
Oh,
like
sure.
That. You can, yeah, of course. Stuff, you know, yeah. Just say so you can get off on it or give me what your opinion is. You think of stuff like that. So yep. I got your email. I'll shoot you over something in the email. And
yeah, we won't share it with our two or three people that listen to the show. Well, we'll be okay.
When you send it to me, I won't even share it with Dennis and Bill. So
it might. Yeah, that's great.
It might turn out that like one of them is the same one that listens to me. You know what I mean? So then, there we go. He shot the whole load right there.
There you go. It's like a wasted time right there.
That one dude. And damn.
This is so great. I like your show. I like the whole vibe of the show. Like he's over here in this one place. He's drinking his wine, and you're over there. The other guy's got no pants on.
Yeah, Alan's not wearing. He never wears pants. It's weird.
You weren't supposed to see that.
You guys all really good. You all good friends and shit.
Yeah, we've been friends for quite a while.
Bill and I have been friends since 1984.
Yeah.
I was going to say they've been friends since the 1900s.
Yeah. Way back then.
That's right. We've been and the three of us haven't been friends. We were friends not until the 2000s. So
yeah. At least you got friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I got two.
How did all you guys come together into this one podcast thing?
So Dennis and I have known each other for a long time, and we've talked about this for a while. And then I met Alan on a Kiss Army Facebook or a Yahoo group, and we started talking. We were all from the same town, but I don't live there anymore. I live in near Indianapolis, Indiana, and they all live in Southern Indiana. So we
Indiana. Kind of,
we've been talking a little bit, and then
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we all three ended up at a Judas Priest show. At the same time, about six years ago, and it's almost to the day,
October 30th.
Yeah. And I introduced Alan and Dennis, and we talked about the podcast. And a year later, Alan texted me and said, "Hey, what'd you guys ever do with that podcast? Like, we didn't do anything because we don't know what the hell to do." And
we don't know how to do it.
The next, but 3 days later, we did our first show, and now we just celebrated 5 years.
So between the three of you, you're able to get the job done.
Yeah, it takes three of us.
I get it. I totally
actually, it takes Alan.
I can relate. Alan is the guy who puts it together.
I can relate. I got to sit here and do all this shit by myself. But at least I hang with you guys. I feel like one of the guys tonight, you know?
Yeah, and that's how we like the show. We just want it to be a conversation and just chat and talk and whatever, however it flows and goes wherever it goes. It's cool. That's how we want it.
Uninhibited and uncensored.
There you go. And unprofessional.
Hey, we have to put the uninhibited in there. That's a new one.
Yeah. Unprofessional. Yeah.
We always say unprofessional.
Professionality is overrated.
Right. It is.
Now go back.
I have to do that in my day job. I don't want to do it in my night job.
Show me a professional. I'll show you something that's no fun.
Going back to your song Party Time, do you have a tentative release date for that, or are things still up in the air because it's being remixed, or how's that working out?
I don't know exactly what's going to – how this everything's going to happen and transpire in the next couple of months. You know, obviously I'm going to be getting onto a label and stuff, whether this one, how we'll release it or it'll, you know, cause the videos like really came to the party. Now the whole thing is being souped up and redone and everything. And there's going to be a lot backing it with promotion and things like that. So it's going to get out there. And my plan is to, by hook or by crook, release it on New Year's Eve.
Oh, cool.
Because I think that's what better day can you think of?
Yeah, it's a party. Yeah. Party
time. You're out with this year that everybody thinks is so
shitty. Yeah, gosh.
Yeah, no kidding.
People got all these hopes that the next year is going to not bring all the shittiness with it. And it's time to party again. It's New Year's Eve. You know what I mean? And
we can only be that lucky.
Yeah, no kidding.
Can you tell our audience where they might find you on the interwebs?
Mine? Anywhere you can find anybody. Donnie, you start with my website, DonnieV.com, and that'll lead you to my Twitter, Instagrams, fucking TikTok, some new one they've started up with me. And that stuff's a lot of fun. It's necessity these days, you know, all that social media stuff. And
yeah,
and I'm, you know, like I can't mix salt and pepper. So putting together this shit is lucky that you guys got me on here with a microphone and the camera and everything works. And I find my cigarettes. And
actually, you're doing a lot better than some people.
Oh my God.
We've had a few people on here. It's been really tough.
Well, I built this thing. I wish you could see it. I built this gizmo because in order to do this, you know, you got to have your laptop. You got to have your camera situated somewhere. Then you got to have your sound, your board, mixing board. You got a microphone plug. You got to have a interface to go into the thing and stuff. So I built this one big gizmo, and it's got everything all in one stand. So I don't have all these different tables and trays and stuff. And I just wheel this over here and turn it on, and it's ready to go.
Do you need Dennis's address or anything?
Yeah, I need that.
Do you need Dennis's address? He needs some help.
I need some gizmos. I'm on my iPad tonight, but usually I'm redoing a room right now, and it's just been a mess. And every week it's a different situation.
That looks nice. What I see there.
Oh, this is in my house. I'm at a friend's house.
Looks very colonial.
Yes,
doesn't look very Indiana.
No, it's in Indiana.
You can give me your address, so yeah, I could give you your track.
I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you in a message.
Like my neighbor's like,
let's roll up at your house one day.
My neighbor would be like, there's this guy named Donnie. He's looking for you, man. He's in your backyard.
I'm standing on the outskirts. I'm not allowed in Indiana.
Oh, you got to be allowed in Indiana, dude.
Oh, yeah.
We're not keeping many people out.
Yeah, we're right next to Kentucky. Everything goes in Kentucky, so you're fine.
I've been kicked out of a state before. I was literally kicked out of a state. I escorted out, and there's other states that I'm not welcome back, as long as some hotels and a couple of countries.
Wow. Ooh,
there you go.
Where do you call home now? What state do you call home now?
Illinois. Fusion.
Oh, you're next door.
I'm not going to tell exactly where I'm at, but
no.
Yeah.
You know, the south suburbs of Chicago. And it's where I grew up and everything. Well, lack thereof, you know, but I've lived everywhere, you know, New York and England and fucking California, and this Texas. Again, everywhere I set my hat, you know, I was a rolling stone. But now I'm back and I had a lot of anxiety about coming back to this town because I had a lot of ugliness, a lot of ugly memories of life was here. And then seeing that, like flying over Chicago for a while there, I would get anxiety, you know, just thinking of a lot of bad scenes and people that I'd hung with and the things that went down here. And I've seen more terrible shit than anybody should ever have to see, you know. But when I got... See, how I came back from this European thing, and I was so fucked up, and it's such a mess luckily I had a warrant in Michigan for some I think it was manufacturing drugs or something like that. they grabbed me.
You're an entrepreneur.
Well, that's what it was. it's just being practical. You know what I mean, but but as I was coming back into the country, they customs grabbed me and hauled me away out to your necks of the woods, you know, Michigan, Cass County and shit. And I got in jail for a while and then went through this lengthy, in-depth program called Adult Treatment Court. And where they broke it all down, where you got no choice. Usually you can't afford the luxury of being able to stop everything and get it together and fix your problems and all this and that. Well, this, you had no choice to do it. So a lot of people, it was like a way to get out of going to jail. For me, it was a miracle. It was the answer that I've always been needed and looking for. And it's right down to the therapy and everything that got attended to. And after that, I was ready to take care of business, which I'd have done that a fucking 30 something years ago. I mean, you probably wouldn't have been able to get me on your podcast.
Wow. Yeah, it takes those kind of things though to bring people around and kind of wake them up a little bit to.
Yeah, well, everything is different.
Get them out of
now.
A mess. Yeah,
everything's sure. different. I actually feel like I'm living a life. My whole life, all I've been doing is wishing that I wasn't alive. You know.
Wow, that's not good.
Even around thousands of people, you can still feel lonely, and if you're in that kind, this sort of frame of mind and this sort of lifestyle is leading. You know what I mean? And so this is where I'm finally, you know, I'm happy. I'm enjoying each day. You know, I still don't like the sun, you know, but that's what I got. But you know what?
Well, you look kind of pale. That explains it.
Yeah.
Shit. I didn't put enough on.
So I guess Donnie V is short for Donnie Vampire.
I'm usually clear. So I had to put this on.
Well, look, Donnie, it's time for us to wrap up. We are so glad that you came on the show.
Yeah.
As time gets closer for your song to be released, you know, if you want to come back on and talk about it some more, you're welcome to.
Absolutely. Well, now I got your own personal information, and I've tracked your IP addresses, so I know exactly who you guys are.
That's the biggest VPN, buddy.
There'll be a white van parked outside your house tomorrow.
There actually is a white van across the street.
There you go.
Which one?
It's the smaller of the models.
Hey, anytime you guys need to fill a few minutes, or you need somebody on a show or something like that, I can shit talk for fucking days. You know what I mean?
Oh, we'd love to.
Cool, man.
You got my contact info now.
Yeah.
I got yours. So at least one of yours.
Yeah.
Who's the king? Who's the head guy? That's you.
Alan's the head guy.
The beard.
He's the only one with any technical knowledge. So they let him say the rest of it.
You have no idea what happens before we get a guest on here every freaking week.
Yeah. It's like, Alan, you gotta talk to him. I can't
it's like,
deal with this.
Yeah.
You were easy. You were very easy.
Dennis says, God damn it, every week before we ever get on the show because he can't get his something right. His gizmo's off, is all jacked up.
Yeah, it's gotta,
it's every week.
You gotta make one of these fucking things, man. This is fucking,
I do.
I'd show it to you, but I'm not giving away my secrets.
There you go.
No, don't do that.
Hang on a second, Donnie. I'm gonna take us out of here and then we'll talk for a little bit more. Y'all visit us on agesofrock.com. Find our social media links and links to past episodes. And until next time, peace out. Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.